IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
Came across the strange story. The Russian TV keeps pulling broadcast of soccer games in Europe off air because fans are showing anti-war messages. Russian broadcasters Match TV has cut a number of European soccer matches after anti-war messages at stadiums. It prematurely ended two broadcasts of the German Bundesliga after pitch side ads showed stop war messages. While the Bundesliga is still broadcasting in Russia, the English Premier League ended its contract in the country. This is definitely turning out to be a war that has been expressly and fundamentally used by the media. Now, of course, this is not a new thing. We know what happened in Nazi Germany. The use of propaganda was absolutely vital to the cause. But this somehow feels like it's a greater use of media than we've seen in a very long time. We wanted to get an expert's view on it. William Bird is the director of Media Monitoring Africa, joins us this morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me on the program.
A great pleasure. There's no doubt that President Zelensky from Ukraine has used social media to an incredible advantage. To give us your observations of how this is playing out in the media, with the use of media.
Yeah, you know, I think it really helps that before this he had exposure in the media industry, and also being a comedian, you know, ironically, has been very constructive for his purpose, because he understands about trying to reach an audience, about trying to connect with people, and about making sure that things resonate with them. So you would have seen in all of his speeches, you know, he tailors them quite carefully to each of the respective audiences. You know, bringing in some famous person that is powerful or resonates with each of the people in that particular parliament or issue, for example. And whenever he does that, then of course people, you know, they're able to connect a lot more closely with him. And then being able to just sort of make a bit of fun of himself is also something that I think really helps that. And you counter that against old Putin, and that's really interesting, because of course he's quite an old style politician in so many respects. Of course, you know, the Russian base has been very powerful with disinformation campaigns, probably more than many others. So that, in that respect, they're very advanced. But their kind of ability to understand how to actually connect with people compared with Zelensky is just it's chalk and cheese. And I think that also then contributes. So the fact that Putin is about as likable as a dead fish against Zelensky, who, you know, has all of these other qualities going for him, regardless of how you feel about the conflict, those things all contributes to a much more powerful social media presence.
And it seems to be, my own observation would be that Zelensky he walks amongst the people, where Putin is very distant from people. In other words, much less relatable.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, Putin is, you know, he tries to assert that he's this, you know, super powerful, strong, you know, commanding leader. All of these, you know, there are all those memes of him riding, you know, the horses and bears,
yes,
without his shirt on and all that kind of thing. You know, that's very much that kind of hyper-masculine, you know, I am so powerful and everyone should bow down before me, as opposed to someone who says, I'm not leaving the country, I'm staying here, I'm fighting, this is what we're going for, but at the same time, I respect that I'm a leader and this is how I'm going to do it. You know, and that's all of those messages very cleverly tailored by him to, you know, really resonate. His wife also, I think, has been playing quite a critical role behind the scenes. You know, her role as I think she was a producer and a writer before this, before he actually started running for presidency. And there's no doubt that probably her role is also playing a very important aspect of his social media kind of clever campaign that's there. And you know, the fact that he's there all the time, that he keeps going and speaking to new leaders, he's keeping himself on the agenda instead of, and you know, to a degree the people might say, well, he should just be in the country focusing on that, but actually there he is, you know, he's on social media every day just about.
Yeah. When is it too much? You know, at one stage it was worrying, not worrying me, but I was starting to get the sense that he was overplaying his hand a little bit. That doesn't seem to be the case at the moment. But then all of a sudden he's speaking at the Grammys. He was upset not to speak at the Oscars, which in retrospect was probably a good decision. But he seems to walk a very fine line between overplaying it and getting it right. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, look, and that's probably about who he is as a person, you know, and that's the nature of a comedian, someone who's there to feed off and make people laugh, to connect and give them a good time, to point out what's really going on. And so that probably is something that he needs to do. And knowing that he's doing that, and in this particular crisis, you know, he says, okay, what's the next big popular event that I can be at, that I can speak at, to highlight and raise these critical issues in order to, you know, continue that kind of resonating process. Of course, the danger with that is that he may kind of start to either oversell himself, and that depends on what's going to happen with the war and where things are going. So at the moment, ironically, the worse it gets, you know, those hideous war crimes, those things all, you know, serve to help boost his presence. I mean, it's a little bit perverse, that, but, you know, it then makes everyone, when they see him and when they speak, and he comes across as a warm, humane person, you know, who's there fighting for his country, etc. All of those things then continue to reinforce that particular identity. It'll be quite different, of course, if things start to change, or if peace negotiations really start to take hold.
And I guess what's happened as well is whatever he's called, or what some of the things he's called has come true, because he has mentioned fears of genocide, fears of people being assassinated, and slowly this is starting to come to light, which gives him a lot more credibility.
Yeah, you know, and again, you have to check those things. There are always atrocities in war. I mean, let's be clear, it's not a war can never be a civilized thing. But we must also be quite cautious about saying, okay, this is a genocide, as opposed to saying that lots of people have been killed and that there are war crimes that are being committed. You know, genocide is often quite clearly planned. There's strategic processes to that. And so I think we must be cautious of that, because, of course, what he's doing is feeding into that in order to obviously elicit a more support and better reaction to the events that we are seeing. But I think that we do just need to, in as much as he's, you know, warm and relatable, it doesn't mean we shouldn't be quite skeptical of the things and the claims that he's making, to some regard at least, you know, just because of the fact that calling something a genocide is quite an extreme kind of position to take.
And we have seen that, and that's what I'm fascinated by, is when and if that turns and we start to say, okay, you know, this is too much for the situation. And I'm not sure we'll get to that point, but it is fascinating nevertheless. William Byrd, Director of Media Monitoring Africa, talking to us about how President Zelensky has used media and social media in particular to his advantage in winning the war. Thank you, as always.